Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And good afternoon to you. Welcome into the Steve Jones Show, the Wednesday edition on News Radio 1070 WKOK. You can catch the show anytime, anywhere on your tablet and smartphone thanks to our WKOK app. So go to either Google Play or the App Store, search WKOK. Not only are we able to listen to WKOK, but all of our Sunbury broadcasting stations anytime, anywhere. And you can get in contact with the show, Steve Jones at WKOK.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter at Steve Jones PSU. In case you miss any of our shows live, we always archive them on the podcast page at SteveJonesShow.com. Looking forward to more sports talk here as we move through the middle of the week and head toward the weekend. And we're heading into tournament time in college basketball, and specifically the Patriot League tournament. Last night, round one matchup, it was Army over American 74-58. It was actually 30-29 Army at halftime last night. So Army will move on to Soica Pavilion tomorrow night to take on the Bucknell Bison. Bucknell and Army in the quarterfinal matchup of the Patriot League tournament. And of course, you can catch all the Bucknell Bison games over on Eagle 107 at 107.3. The pregame with head coach Nathan Davis and Doug Birdsong will start tomorrow night at 6:30 and tip off at 7. What we are hearing from Bucknell, if Bucknell wins tomorrow night versus Army, there is a very good chance that the Sunday game would be a 2 p.m. tip. It's either going to be noon or 2 anyway, with the Patriot League semifinals on Sunday. So it looks like it could be a 2 p.m. tip on Sunday for the Bison. They get past Army tomorrow evening. And of course, we'll get more information on that from Doug and from BucknellBison.com after tomorrow night's matchup. It's actually all four games will be going on tomorrow night. Patriot League quarterfinals. The championship game will be played at the higher seeds home court next week on Wednesday night. So, of course, fingers crossed from everybody here in the Central Susquehanna Valley that it'll be the Bucknell Bison as they look to go 3-for-3 and punch their ticket into the March Madness tournament, which is just 2 weeks away. Be filling out those brackets before we know it. Our number here to get in touch with us is 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. Coming up tomorrow, we'll keep the college basketball conversation going. Sean Morris, the terrific hoops analyst on BTN, Big Ten Network, will be joining us. We have him scheduled for 3:35 tomorrow afternoon. We'll also be sprinkling in some football conversation along the way, too. Pittsburgh Steeler fans, in case you didn't hear, news came down a couple of hours ago. The James Harrison has signed another two-year deal with the Steelers worth $3.5 million. Harrison confirmed the signing on social media earlier today. Steelers' most consistent pass rusher in 2016. He's only 39 years old. And the NFL draft is going to be the end of next month in Philadelphia. And when you're starting to talk NFL draft, I would think either first or second round pick, the Steelers would definitely have to look for an edge pass rusher.
Every single year. Every year. Let's get another edge pass rusher. How many you want? 18?
The passing league now. I could have sworn you said cornerback. Another year, another corner.
I mean, James Harrison. You've got him locked up until 40 years old now.
We do.
What the heck? You got James Harrison. What the heck?
Well, the light finally came on with Bud Dupree on the other side. So you got to think long term.
To a point.
Yeah. Well, much better than the rookie year for sure.
I mean, was he on the trip to New England? Okay. just asking. Don't know.
Yeah.
But you got James Harrison locked up till 40 years old. What more could you ask for? I mean, be like, that's kind of amazing, isn't it? It's.
I've already pretty much have the first four rounds. Edge pass rusher, yeah, they're going to have to get another corner sooner or later. William Gay's not going to be around too much longer. But then again,
maybe the Vikings can re-sign Alan Page at defensive tackle.
Well, they let Adrian Peterson go, so they'll probably have some cap space available.
I'm just saying, maybe Alan Page can play. Now the Steelers have locked up their... Hey, somebody said, he's the all-time sack leader for the Steelers. Said, well, I would hope so. He's been there 100 years.
Yeah, that's great, but sooner or later, you got to move on. So.
Well, see, that is where, for example, the suit struggled on this show.
Mm-hmm.
So much. Could not let go of Troy Polamalu. Could not let go of Jerome Bettis. Actually thought the two of them were semi-effective at the end, and it's like, I don't think so.
No, you see more and more and more Polamalu is, drifting up toward linebacker. It's like, no.
Yeah. He'll be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yes, he will be. James Harrison, 40 years old. He is in phenomenal shape.
He is. It's really cool, though. It's cool seeing him work out at 4 or 5 in the morning. He'll post these workouts on Instagram and stuff, these little 15, 20-second, video spurt, workout videos. And he's benching 300-400 at a clip, and it's like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into, last night's game. One area where I've stayed, I think for the most part, relatively consistent in my views on things. I don't really change my views that much. So usually if I get to an opinion, then I usually stick with that same train because that's honestly how I feel. Now, if something dramatic comes up that then makes me change my thought, I will tell you straight out on the air that I've changed my thought on something. Last night, of course, Penn State lost to Ohio State on the last play of the game. Penn State this year has now played 7 games that have either gone to the last play or to overtime, and Penn State is 1-6 in those games. And obviously, that's painful for all of them, and it's painful for the fan base. But I'll go back to what I talked about in the summertime, reiterated probably once a month since the season began with practice back in October. And I've stated the entire time, and Sean, you can tell me if I'm wrong about this, but I've stated time after time that this is a 65-game proposition. This is game 30 of the 65-game proposition. I think I've been fairly consistent about that. And when you look at where they are through 30 games, there are pros and cons. The con is that 1-6 in games that go to the final possession or overtime. I mean, even if you go 3-4 in those games, your perception of what you're watching is a bit different right now. You're actually, you know, you're 3-4 in those games instead of 1-6. You're 16-14 right now and not 14-16 because you pick up two more wins and you'd have two fewer losses. And you're feeling differently about where the team is because they probably would have, let's see, those games were all in the Big Ten, so those two more wins would get you to 8. You'd be 8-9 right now. But the bottom line is they didn't. That's the biggest con, where you get to a certain point in the program, and if you can just get that breakthrough moment or win, especially in a close game, it then suddenly jump starts everything, where now you now success starts to breed success. And that's where they are right now. It used to be that the margin of error was very thin for Penn State to put them in the ball game with a chance to win it. Now the margin of error is completely different. The margin of error now is, can you make that one or two plays that then throws you over the top? In a 72-73 possession game, can you win one or two more possessions to win the game and get yourself in a spot to have a different record where success now starts to breed success? That's where they are. That's that maddening stage. I remember in 95, Maurice Taylor and, you know, they had Bullock and these guys that came in for Michigan, and Penn State won the game at Rec Hall. It's a Rec Hall game. That game seemed to change everything for Penn State. And that then jump-started them into a good, strong finish in 95 where they went to the NIT Final Four. And then they the next year, they started out 13-0. Got Matt Gaudio back, people like that. But there's also another stretch I will bring up to you, and that is the Taylor Battle years. Taylor Battle years are an interesting look at this team as it relates to that one. In 2008, they lost both Gary Claxton and Jamel Cornley, and the Penn State basketball team actually won their final five home games without those two. And it then jump-started 08-09. And that's why I talked about, and have consistently talked about with this team, young teams, the first thing they do is win at home. We saw that with football. Those back-to-back wins over Minnesota and Maryland gave them confidence to allow success to breed success, which then went into Ohio State, and then, of course, then they hit a run. It is not insignificant that those three games were all at home for Penn State in the fall, in October. And I've talked repeatedly about winning at home first. Well, they ended up going 9-7 at home this year. Now, the people that go to the Jordan Center are great fans. They're into it. They're loud. They try to be disruptive in the whole thing. But you know what's interesting? I've had one announcer after another from opposing teams come in and some from the networks. And each one of them has said to me the same thing. Gee, Steve, I watched the team on TV. It's a really kind of a fun team to watch. I can't believe there aren't that many people here. You know, and I'll say usually, look, it's the middle of the week. It's always a tough draw, not a big population base, whatever. But Penn State does not have a great home court advantage. Now, will winning bring more people out? Yes. So that's the chicken and the egg. I understand that. But it's not like when Penn State goes to Nebraska, it's sold out. They go to Purdue, it's sold out. They're going to go to Iowa Sunday. I believe that's going to be sold out. You know, when they go to Indiana, it's sold out. I mean, you know, they're going to one sold-out venue after another, and then they come home, and it's like they look around and go, okay, we're at home. It's one of the reasons why I think Pat scheduled the way he did in the non-conference. And he knows there weren't a lot of non-conference home games this year. And so that part never really materialized. Yeah, they got a great win over Minnesota at home. Yeah, they got a great win over Maryland at home. But really, the best win they had was where they had their best crowd of the year, and that was the Palestra. That was real energy. That was a real home court advantage, especially for a young team. But again, the people that are at the games are great. Not good, they're great. They're loyal, they're into it. Question is, you know, is it just winning that brings out more people? I don't have an answer for that. Tony Carr is developed at a faster rate than I anticipated he would. Lamar Stevens is about where I thought it would be, maybe even a little bit better. Mike Watkins, about where I thought he'd be. And you know, I've mentioned a couple times that Mike would not be an option out of a timeout this year, but maybe next year he might start being a low post option out of a timeout. So that's the core group that you're building around right now. But I've talked about this 65-game proposition. They're 30 games into it. And somewhere along the way, they need to punch through and win a couple of games instead of losing them like they have to Purdue in overtime and to Ohio State, all in the span of 7 days. And that's the maddening part of it at this point. Next year, Penn State this year, 332nd in the country out of 351 in age. Next year, I'm going to venture to say they'll be probably 175 to 200 because they'll have everybody back. So it'll move up. And they'll probably be 175 to 200 in terms of average age compared to them. So they'll put them right in about in the middle of the pack age-wise next year. And being a little older might help, which then brings us to the other lesson. In 2009, I mentioned 2008 winning the last five home games with Cornley and Claxton out and battle carrying the load. In 2008-2009, Penn State was 11-3 in games decided by 5 points or less. They parlayed that into a record-setting 27-win season and into an NIT championship. So hopes were high for 9-10. Now, in 9-10, you did lose Cornley, you lost Stanley Pringle, and you lost Danny Morrissey, but you still had a core group back of Andrew Jones, David Jackson, Jeff Brooks, and Taylor Battle. So they went 11-3 in games decided by 5 points or less in 2009. In 9-10, they were 3-14 in games decided by 6 points or less. That's how fine this can be. And what they have to do is to find a way to turn that around next year. Maybe experience is enough to do that. In terms of talent, you can see the eye test. The talent is in place. Next year will be a big year where experience now comes into play in combination with talent. But again, I go back to where I started with this. And I've said this from day one and have not been inconsistent about this at all. I've repeatedly talked about this being a 65-game proposition. Game 31 of it's coming up on Sunday. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Jason Rollison will talk Major League Baseball in just a few minutes. First, this day in sports history. In 1941, Elmer Layden was named the first commissioner of the NFL. 1949, Joe Louis announced that he was retiring from boxing as the world heavyweight champion. He came out of retirement. Didn't he fight Marciano and Marciano beat him? He was, Joe Louis was older at the time. But Marciano, of course, went 49-0 in his career. 1969, Mickey Mantle announced his retirement from baseball. That was my dad's favorite player. And I've told the story and related it on the show a couple times about going to Fenway Park when I was a youngster with my dad and my grandfather. Mantle hit a home run one day. In fact, Roger Maris homered in the game, too. And that's the highest I ever saw my dad jumping in my life. He was so thrilled. Knocked it over. He hit it right-handed. He knocked it over the screen and left. This is before they had the seats. 1979, the NCAA granted ESPN the exclusive rights to telecast collegiate events. Actually, that was actually an important contract. Kind of sent college sports on its way on TV in a lot of ways. 1993, the expansion NHL team owned by Disney named itself the Mighty Ducks. Oh. Finally, they just called themselves the Ducks. 1996, Lenny Wilkins won his 1,000th game as a coach in the NBA. Let's see. In 2002, the Vancouver Canucks said that they would bill goalie Eddie Belfour, the Dallas Stars, for damaging the visiting team's locker room on February 28th. Belfour broke two televisions, a clock, and a VCR and damaged the walls of the dressing room after he was pulled during the first period. My suggestion to Eddie would have been this. Stop a couple more pucks, stay in the game. That's just me. I have simple solutions for big problems. All right. It's like, for example, when the suit hangs around, what do we do with him right away? I just always tell him to go sell something. Seems to work every time, don't you think?
And today's the brand new month and clean slate. Hit the ground running.
Yeah, he needs that. Needs that. One sale and he's up 100%. I know, that sounded cruel on the surface, didn't it? See, you can work percentages any way you want in life. You really can. All right, let's bring in Jason Rollison. We're going to talk about baseball in general. I'll start a little bit with the Pirates first, Jason. And it sounds like Tyler Glasnow, the rookie, is off to a great start.
Yeah, he recently had six strikeouts in two innings in his last outing, his last spring outing, and worked a pretty clean appearance. Had a let up one hit, but again had those six strikeouts. It's a combination of a new changeup grip as well as a little bit of a new delivery. There's some great people down there who are reporting this. Tim Williams from Pirates Prospects, I have to give him credit on this one. He kind of was all out in front of this. The new delivery plus the new changeup has really made it very effective. And you know, he's starting to develop that third pitch that everyone has really said that he needed to have. And, you know, it was obviously just one start, and we want to see it a little deeper in the spring at the very least before we can think about putting him in rotation. But, you know, all systems go right now.
Jason, what do you take out of spring training, and what do you take out of, quote, the exhibition season? I heard Brian Anderson the other night on the on a Brewers-Royals game that was on MLB, and he referred to it as the exhibition season. I thought, well, that's old-fashioned. It's kind of like old school like me. What do you take out of it, if anything?
Well, if it's truly an exhibition season, that's the longest exhibition season I've ever heard of. But the way I look at spring training is I don't think that you can really greatly improve as a player. I mean, if you're at the point where you're an MLB prospect and you're at the point where you're about to jump into the major leagues, you kind of know what you are at this point. But what I do take stock in is spring training is a great time to develop bad habits and let them eat away at your game. With McCutchen last year, you kind of saw it. He was a little off in spring training, and not many of us thought much of it. You know, we still saw the bat speed. We still saw, some good contact where he did make contact. But, you know, looking back on it, you can kind of see some bad habits in terms of swing selection and patience that just wasn't very Andrew McCutchen-like. And I think more than anything, bad habits can creep in during spring training. But overall, it's the length of spring training annoys some, but it's an absolute necessity for pitchers to build up their arms and really get their deliveries down. So it's kind of a necessary evil that it's so long, but if you're not careful, some bad habits can creep in.
World Baseball Classic will be coming up. And when it does come up, how do you feel about the World Baseball Classic, where suddenly at this time of the year you're playing some meaningful baseball instead of just easing yourself into a season?
You know, it's kind of funny. I was just listening to you guys talk about the Vancouver Olympics, and I remember being so conflicted as a Pittsburgh Penguins fan from my youth that Sidney Crosby scored the game-winning goal. I was both excited and upset. And I think that what that brings me to my next point is that it's the pride of country. And, you know, the WBC has a lot of critics that say it's not necessary. They say it can increase the injury risk for pitchers especially, and that's all absolutely true. But it is the pride of country that you're playing for. In baseball, you know, obviously baseball cannot be an Olympic sport because it's right in the middle of its season.
Right.
And it doesn't really lend itself to taking a break like hockey or basketball does. So, you know, with that, you kind of say, okay, let them play for their country. But, you know, overall, I think it's not really doing as much for the game as maybe a lot of people think it is, but, you know, I have no problem with it on the surface.
Well, the bottom line is, I mean, people in the United States don't really care about it.
No, not even close.
I mean, and guess what? Guess who buys the tickets to Major League Baseball games? People in the United States.
It's kind of a catch-22 there. But, you know, I think if there was an argument that the game was not strong internationally, you could make that argument. But baseball is, I believe, the strongest international of the game of the four major sports, and I'm including hockey with that. So
right.
I don't see all the benefit, but, you know, I also have no real problem with it. All it's going to take, though, is one major name to get injured. I think things might change.
The next part is Major League Baseball, and led by Rob Manfred, have talked a lot about tinkering with the rules to speed up the game or using an experiment in the minor leagues with extra innings. When you've looked at this, Jason, is there anything about it you like, and is there anything about it you don't like?
Well, I like some of what Manfred is trying to do. For example, the intentional walk rule I have no problem with, because while it's true that, you know, not making the pitcher actually throw four pitches to the side of the plate is not going to shave much time off, it's going to give their perception that the game is zipping along a little more quickly. Some of the surface stuff like that I have no problem with, and I'm sure many will agree that anything that fundamentally changes the rules of the game, such as that extra inning runner on second base experiment, I am absolutely dead set against. You know, I think baseball is doing so well. I think its core audience understands that they like the slow pace of the game. They like the leisurely pace sometimes, the pitcher versus batter duel, which can take, you know, quite a lot of time sometimes. So I think Manfred needs to be very careful what he's stepping into. And as long as he's not fundamentally changing any rules of the game, I have no problem. And I also think that experimenting in the minor leagues is the way to go with some of these things. Obviously, that's the perfect place to do such experimentation. But again, as long as he doesn't encroach too much on the fundamental nature of the game, I'm open to what he suggests.
Yeah, the way I look at it, the runner on second base thing is absurd. To me, you have to earn your way on. I find that to be absurd. And look, I know the games that, you know, I've done. Been fortunate to do the Spikes games here for all 11 seasons, and Spike Fest is coming up on Sunday at the Multisport. But I think the longest game that's ever been here has been 15 innings. I mean, most of the games, they get to the 10th, 11th inning, they usually settle it, and that's usually it. There's no need to put somebody on second base. I think just Major League Baseball has to sit there and just say, hey, look, one foot in the box when you look down to third, and to the pitcher, pitch. Get the ball and pitch it.
Yeah.
I mean, as simple as that. If the game ends up going 2 hours and 58 minutes because of circumstances, so be it. But don't, I mean, the biggest problem baseball has is the ball is not in play enough.
Yeah, that's a good point. There's absolutely nothing that they can do to fundamentally change that.
Right.
They have tried some things like keeping a foot in the box, but if you notice, that was a big push a couple of years ago. And now that rule, if it even was an enforceable rule, it's quite a gray area to me. It's hardly ever enforced. You still have Josh Harrison of the Pirates going through a song and dance every time he adjusts his gloves. So, you know, in reality, I think they're trying to turn, a 2-hour and 58-minute game into a 2-hour and 50-minute game. And for me, that is not worth changing the game. Absolutely not.
Yeah, I don't want to see great changes in it, but I do want to see common sense use. I do want them to keep 1 foot in the box when they look down. Look, get in there and hit. How many times? You didn't put the batting gloves on right the first time? I mean, really?
Yeah, I mean, if you're a major league player, you're not putting your gloves on right, you need to reevaluate.
I mean, every single pitch got to take out. Just get in there and hit. All right, same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing with pitchers. Guys get on base and the game slows to a crawl. And I don't know. That's just how I look at it. Yeah, I mean, the other thing I would take a long, hard look at would be timeouts. And that includes what I don't like is when the pitching coach walks out and does that long stroll while they're scrambling in the bullpen to get somebody up. So, in other words, we have to stop the game because you mismanaged it. Okay, just want to make sure I've got that straight. Okay, Jason, thanks so much. Appreciate it very much.
You got it. Thanks. Good to be back with you.
Jason Rollison joining us. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Exclusive from the Suits CD collection. Great to have you with us. All right, we're going to get Sean Morris on the show tomorrow. Looking forward to that. Also, the Big Ten Women's Basketball Tournament, Jerry Fisher. We have not had Jerry on the show. And finally get a chance to do it, and we're going to. Jeff Byers is going to be on the show Friday, talking about the Big Ten Wrestling Championships. The Big Ten Network is only carrying the final. They're not carrying anything else. Now, if you have BTN to go or BTN Plus, you can get it there. But, of course, you have to pay for it. I don't know. I know scheduling is tricky for TV. But you don't think that the semifinals and finals should both be on? I mean, only to have the final on. I don't know. Now, I do want to point something out. One thing I don't know is I don't know what the ratings are. So I don't know what the ratings are for football, men's basketball, women's basketball, wrestling, ice hockey. I don't know what the ratings are. I know every once in a while when they have something that's highly rated, for example, they'll put out a press release. Penn State, Rutgers, the football game drew a big rating in Philadelphia, for example, and they put out a press release about it. Northwestern had a big basketball win. I want to say, was it the Wisconsin game, maybe? Might have been the Wisconsin game. And Northwestern had a big win, and it drew a big rating. On BTN, they put a press release out on it. Remember what I talked about with Tony Knopp last week? You know, he talked about it. I was like you, I was listening. And he brought up the case, and I think everyone knows where I'm going with this, you know, as you listen to the show every day, about his company works very closely with Coca-Cola. They're one of the corporate partners that Tony's company works with in terms of buys and so forth. And he was talking with either the president, CEO, or a vice president, somebody that's high up in the company that makes decisions about where to buy. And he was mentioning how the Dodgers had offered him, when they were going through the process of considering the Dodgers, He said, hey, why don't you come on down, take batting practice. It'll be great at Dodger Stadium. You'll love it, the whole thing. And, of course, you know, they're trying to win him over, trying to wow him and win him over. And he told Tony, in no uncertain terms, he says, look, I've got an entire room of MBAs sitting there crunching numbers. And if they come back, and let's just take a round number, 20 of them, and if they tell me by, 14 to 6 that, hey, this is a good buy, so I'm going to buy it. If they go 6 up and 14 down, I'm not going to buy it. He says they crunch numbers left and right, left and right, left and right. And I'm wondering, when BTN crunches its numbers on ratings, whether it doesn't rate high enough. I don't know. Because as I preface this by saying, I don't have the ratings numbers as to what's being rated on BTN and what's not. Obviously, they have a preconceived men's and women's basketball schedule. And a key for any sports network is to air as much live sports as possible. Well, for Big Ten Network, this is a great time of the year because starting today, for example, they have the Big Ten Women's Tournament. They have two games today. So they can air two games today and they can air four more tomorrow. Penn State's playing Minnesota tomorrow, as an example. Well, they get to air live events. Next week's going to be a great week for ESPN because ESPN is going to have championship week. They're going to have games, live games, all over the lot at all times of days.
They've actually streamlined it now. Now they're just calling it Champ Week.
Whatever they want to call it.
Right.
Why, for example, people complain about bowl games. Well, if you notice, there's no bowl game that goes up against another bowl game. Have you noticed that? Because for ESPN, they have been able, and they own 13 of them, they've been able to buy themselves programming. So from the Saturday 2 weeks before New Year's, right up until New Year's, and then a little bit beyond, they have a football game, a college football game, at least one every night, sometimes two. And then between Christmas and New Year's, when people have time off, they'll air two or three bowl games in a day. Because you have time off, and guess what? The ratings show that you watch it. So you go through this, they have too many bowl games. Except the problem is we watch. I mean, I watch. I know, and let's face it, you watch. So the question is, when it comes to wrestling, in the number crunching that they do at BTN, do enough people watch?
Well, I looked into it. They're not running it on delay. They are definitely airing it live, and it's 3 p.m. Eastern on Sunday.
Yeah, it's after the Penn State-Iowa basketball game.
Yeah. Well, you got me to thinking, if it's a numbers deal, maybe they're just going to, toss it on like tape delay.
No. That's definitely going to be live. It's a Big Ten championship. My question is, what's keeping them from airing the Big Ten semifinals? Not the final. The final is locked in and live. But what is keeping them from airing the Big Ten semifinals in wrestling? Every school in the conference has the sport. But is it popular enough outside of Pennsylvania and Iowa?
We are your home for the Philadelphia Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.